This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
My pleasure to welcome you here to the Clark Howard Show, where our mission is to serve you with advice and information that empowers you to make better financial decisions in your life. One way I personally get better, because I'm so into the Japanese concept of Kaizen, continuous improvement, is in our weekly Clark Stink segment. I learn where you think I've got it wrong, miss part of the picture, miss some information, or get an incomplete for not being thorough with something. I love it because I always want to get better at what I do, and you help me do it. Something I don't love, and I love at the same time, mixed, is loyalty programs. Because loyalty programs, they may come with the carrot of the rewards, but they almost always come with the stick that you spend more money. I'm going to tell you why that's the way it plays. But right now, it's time to find out how much I stink.
I should have never encouraged you to speak.
You must think I'm pretty stupid.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
Well, maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe you're right, pal.
What you got, Krista?
In response to Dean's question about opening an investing account as a teenager, he asked if he should, quote, invest for the short term or long term. You blabbed on about Gen Z investing earlier in age and completely skipped over the fact that there is no such thing as investing for the short term. Investing for the short term is either called saving or gambling. I know you know this, but would it have been a good opportunity to remind your listeners, Brian?
Brian, if I failed to say that, that's something I should always point out, is that when you're looking typically at less than 5 years, you are a saver. When you're looking longer than 5 years, steadily longer than 5 years, more and more you're an investor, and they work completely differently. My son, who's a teenager, thinks that investing for the long term is 24 hours, as he's really into buying and selling things constantly and checking the account and all that. And I'm like, Grant, you know, this isn't really how you're going to make money long term, but he's learning. He's a smart guy, and he'll also learn the difference between short term saving, long term investing.
Your answer about the lack of cruise clinic medical coding may stink, like cruise ship bilge water. If I get a medical workup on a cruise, I would demand current procedural terminology CPT codes from my insurance company for reimbursement. CPT is international, so it sounds like the cruise industry is stonewalling the customers. Would you check this out and drain the bilge while you're at it, Hal?
Hal, thank you. And actually, that's a great point, because there has been so much talk about this that we've had from additional posts from people who got stuck with these big bills their insurance would not pay from going to the infirmary on a cruise ship. So yeah, that's a great question. I'll see what I can find out.
Clark. Why would Social Security need to be cut if more is paid out than comes in? The federal budget is fungible by your logic, SNAP, foreign aid, all welfare and military spending on and on need to go before Social Security. Those items pay nothing. Yet somehow the money is always there for those, and that spending continues to balloon. All else should be cut first, obviously. There simply is no magic reason Social Security must pay its way. You are parroting a line used by both political parties to manipulate and scare voters. Brian.
Brian, thank you. You want me to scare you? Let's talk about how unsustainable the federal budget deficit is and the debt we're incurring each year from the unsustainable federal budget deficit. Somehow, the American people today either look the other way or assume there's some magical tooth fairy that's going to fix this. The reality is we're going to have a financial market meltdown where people are going to say, both Americans and people overseas are going to say, we're not going to buy your bonds. We're not going to buy them because how are you going to pay them back? Because we're living a life as a country that makes us weak, that is completely unsustainable. Yes, it is true. I am a deficit hawk. I despise debt. We are affecting our position of strength in the world and turning from strength to weakness because we are not funding the things we are spending money on. So we have to decide, are we going to do this? And if we're going to do it, how are we going to pay for it? I mean, I get so frustrated. You really hit a hot button with me. I get so frustrated that just 26 years ago, we were trying to figure out what we were going to do to handle the money supply when we paid off our entire remaining federal deficit. That was just 26 years ago. And now we're running these gigantic deficits that we cannot afford. And so, yes, we cannot just print our way out of the shortage of money for Social Security and Medicare, because what are known as entitlements are roughly 70% of the federal budget. You could cut everything else to zero. We still don't have enough money, have no national defense, have no services from the federal government at all, just because we are not willing to face the facts that we don't have the money to pay for the promises we're making to people. And we got to get our act together. We've got to get our act together.
Clark Howard for president.
Of what?
At least budget master. To stink may be too strong, but there's a sweetness missing from your answers regarding SEP IRAs. While 25% is the stated limit, there is an exception for self-employed individuals. The 25% limit applies to income less than half of self-employment taxes and less the SEP contribution. Consequently, for a self-employed individual, the maximum contribution ends up being a little more than 18.5% of earnings. Joseph.
Joseph, that is correct. And your answer is almost exact for most people. Some people apparently it ends up being around 21%. But you're right that when I just say flat out 25, that is inaccurate, even though that's the headline number. In reality, it's not.
A listener was asking for a source of hotel deals for road trips. I think Clark missed a source that might help that listener, Travelzoo. While they aren't solely a list of hotel deals, they often include them. We recently booked a great hotel in Chicago using one of their posted deals. I think it's worth checking out. Katie.
Katie, thank you. All right, so why don't I talk about Travelzoo? I love their, it's almost like a bulletin board of travel deals. There are a lot of really great things there. You also mentioned they'll some of it is hotel deals, which is not their main thing. Some of the travel suppliers that post on Travelzoo, I'm not comfortable with because of potential customer no service issues. So I guess I should talk about Travelzoo and add that caveat each time, just like I have with Kayak when I've talked about when people are looking at airfares, that a lot of the sources that list the low fares for airfares, you'd never want to buy a ticket from because of the consumer problems and customer no service and almost some of them like almost scammy kind of people. So that's a problem with something like Travelzoo or Kayak, that you don't have anybody limiting what's listed there to organizations that have proven to be reputable and customer service focused.
Well, I have to say, ClarkDeals.com does look through those, and they only post the ones, as far as we know, that are reputable companies. We can never guarantee it, but we do go through all those sites. And
we met about this and talked it through and decided that even though they don't vet, we would vet.
Right.
And only list what we were able to determine from Travelzoo were legit deals
we think
that go on, Clark.
Yeah. As best sure, we can tell. Yeah. Please don't blame us.
Why? They should blame us.
No. Okay. I don't know. Clark, you stink because you don't lay out the whole case for retiring later rather than earlier. You correctly talk about taking Social Security at age 70, but don't mention the other reasons for staying in the workforce until at least that time. One, you and usually your spouse can stay on your employer's medical plan. You don't need to use or pay for Medicare or supplemental plans while still working and covered. You often can keep the benefits such as employer-supplied life and other insurances as well. Two, if you have a traditional 401k or 403b, you can refer required minimum distributions until you stop working. This is important if you work past age 73, which I am doing now, as the money continues to grow. And three, you continue to receive your whole salary, one that has likely grown due to seniority and other payments. Four, you get to remain longer in the social group that includes your colleagues, avoiding the loneliness and boredom some retirees go through. And five, you can likely afford to make Roth conversions. These have to remain for 5 years before you can use the money. And starting at, or hopefully before age 65, would make you eligible to use the money starting at 70. In my case, doing 9 years of structured Roth conversions will save me over $1 million in taxes in my life. Six, you can continue putting money aside into employer-sponsored plans and payroll deductions into Roth accounts, especially are great as we age. Even for middle-class workers like me, retiring later can make a big difference, and I'm grateful to have not needed Social Security before age 70 due to this decision. I admit to having the blessing of a job that is fulfilling and enjoying good health. I enjoy your show, by the way, and listen to it over breakfast every day. Michael.
Michael, thank you. A very thoughtful post. And I want to give you a response to that. Jonathan Clements, and we post some of his brilliant writing on our website, and he has his own newsletter called Humble Dollar. And I were talking about a column he wrote about why it's so important to wait to age 70 to receive Social Security. And he and I were talking about how some of the angriest posts we ever get on Clark Stinks towards me, and the anger he got, he said was the most anger he'd ever received on a column, which is the opposite of what you're talking about, Michael, is that people get very, very upset. And he said something he realized from a lot of the angry comments he got is a lot of people absolutely hate the job they have, and they're counting the days, hours, minutes, seconds, till they're not there anymore. And the idea of telling somebody to keep working like you're talking about, Michael, I keep working when they cannot stand working and they can't wait to leave. I mean, this is the key perspective. I work because I love it, not for money. Michael works because of the combination of enjoying the work he does, the engagement with other people, and the financial benefits of continuing to work. So this is the dividing line, is if you really, really hate what you do, you're going to retire as soon as financially you can. And then there are crazy people like Michael and me who love to work.
All right. Your evaluation of supermarkets stinks. Walmart is tops. I'm a Walmart Plus member. I can return items from my home via FedEx for free. I've ordered my groceries weekly delivered to my house, even to my kitchen, for over a year, and they have never made a mistake. Their prices are consistently lower than any supermarket here other than Aldi, and selections are expansive. If my local Walmart is out of stock of a non-perishable item when I order, they ship it to me free, and it arrives within 2 days. For an example on prices, Walmart prepared salads are $2.97. The same salads at two of my local supermarkets are $5.50. Do you know about their emails? Do you know about Walmart Business in Bulk? Judy.
Judy, you know, I am a Walmart Plus member. I've done a lot of Walmart grocery. I don't do delivery. I've done the pickup, curbside pickup of groceries. I mean, I know you save a lot of money. What I've talked about is, and I love Aldi, I've already been there once this week, is that when you look at the customer satisfaction, the American Customer Satisfaction Index, other surveys, Walmart does not rank well in those surveys. The prices, absolutely great. The public perception, not so great.
You mentioned the benefits of adding a circulating pump to your home hot water system as saving water and getting instant hot water. These are great benefits. What you didn't mention is that your hot water heater now has to keep the hot water in the pipes hot 24 hours a day or whatever you set the timer for. which will use additional electricity or gas. I haven't seen a study that weighs the economic and environmental trade-offs, Robert.
Yeah, I haven't either, Robert. And, you know, when I talked about that, I kept hearing from people, what about getting a tankless? Get a tankless. You're going to have hot water all the time. Get a tankless. And that is an alternative as well. You ever had a tankless in a house?
I have one, yeah.
And so you got forever hot water all you want. How long does it wait? Does it take you? Do you wait when you turn on the shower till the first hot water gets to you?
It's in the basement, and my floor's on this, on like two floors up. And so it takes a few minutes before it gets warm.
Oh, it does. Mm-hmm. So you are wasting a lot of water.
I guess I am. Yeah. Okay. Another one I put on the list to fix. Clark, you stink worse than a rotten apple covered in battery acid. You recently commented that Apple was being cruel and not supporting full resolution images for texting. Apple downgrades non-iMessage communications to MMS, which is an ancient protocol, after Google flip-flopped and made something like 8 different messaging apps. They eventually got the industry to slowly support RCS, which supports full resolution images. It's still not even supported on all Android phones or carriers. Apple is late to the game here, but you painted Apple as being able to do this forever, and that is simply not true. At the end, you called having an iPhone part of the collective. I've always suspected you have a bias against Apple, but now I can tell it's explicit. John.
John, this is all in good fun, actually. My family is all Apple all the time, everything. Apple watches, MacBooks, iPhones. My son wants one of these. What's the new Apple headgear thing called?
I don't know.
One of his friends has this Apple headgear thing he's all excited about. It's like a virtual reality headset kind of thing or something. I don't understand those. Yeah, I don't like Apple's walled garden because I think it was a marketing thing, not a technical thing, that they were doing it as a way to get customers into their world. And as I just saw an article that's funny, it's really easy to leave Apple for Android, except they went on with all the problems you have going from Apple to Android that you don't have from Android to Apple. I think that's by design by Apple, and I don't think it's for altruistic reasons. Apple is a brilliant company. The original iPhone was a breakthrough after Microsoft tried year after year after year to develop a screen-based smartphone and kept falling on their faces with it. So hard to use, nobody could do it. The genius of Steve Jobs was he made it something that anybody could pick up and instantly be able to use, which is fantastic. And so Apple is a wonderful company. I don't like some of their practices.
So would you say you have an explicit bias?
Explicit bias against Apple? I don't know. Do you think I do?
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay. I guess I do. So Krista has now spoken, John, and validated what you've said. So I prefer using, well, you know, it's funny. One of the things I really like about Android is this, that I can have like this crazy phone that is a tablet and a phone. And one of the wonders of Android is companies can make whatever device they want. And many different companies make the devices. Some make really crummy devices. Some make really great devices. But all different shapes and sizes that you can have. Where Apple, if you want to be in Apple's orbit, you can only have the hardware that they design and they decide that you can have. So I am such a free market kind of libertarian kind of guy. I love just having the marketplace experiment and try different things. So if that's a bias, it's a bias. So thank you so much for your post today. Coming up ahead, speaking of loyalty, I'm going to talk about the costs and benefits of loyalty right ahead.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Most of you listening right now are probably multitasking. Yep, while you're listening, you're probably also driving, cleaning, exercising, or maybe even grocery shopping. But if you're not in some kind of moving vehicle, there's something else you can be doing right now. Getting an auto quote from Progressive Insurance. It's easy, and you can save money by doing it right from your phone. Drivers who save by switching to Progressive save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. discounts for having multiple vehicles on your policy, being a homeowner, and more. So just like your favorite podcast, Progressive will be with you 24/7, 365 days a year, so you're protected no matter what. Multitask right now. Quote your car insurance at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Are you a member of the herd? Do you do a particular thing because you have become so loyal to a brand? I think we all do that to some extent. But that human nature thing of being part of the crowd, part of the herd, is exploited by companies through their loyalty programs. And I think about when loyalty programs kicked off 40 years ago in a big way, when American Airlines started the Advantage program, and it spread now to almost any industry that there's some kind of loyalty and rewards program. What happens with these programs is it moves price and product quality or service quality down the list of considerations. Because as we like to be part of the pack, when we have that membership, and especially if we get status. And, you know, I laugh with people about, you know, status levels at Chick-fil-A. You know, you get this next status and you get so many extra points every dollar you spend. And then you hit the next level and you get this, that, or the other. Chick-fil-A is even experimenting at limited locations with a VIP line in the drive-through for people who have certain status levels in the Chick-fil-A program. And then the airlines and the car rental companies and the hotels and retailers and restaurants all having these loyalty programs where you get the lure of additional privilege or free food or discounts or points that you can redeem for a hotel night or, you know, a free ticket or an upgrade from an airline. Or whatever industry it is, the loyalty programs change our decision-making process because we will, when we're going to book a hotel, well, we're trying to get this status level in Hilton or in Bonvoy or in, I forget what International Hotel Group's program is called, but in each of these programs, World to Hyatt, all of them, we're trying to get to this level or get these points that get us this free stay we want and all that. And what gets lost in that is what are we paying for the service we're buying or the product we're buying at that moment? How good is that restaurant? How good is that hotel? How good is that airline flight? And so when we start making those decisions where we've lost sight of the price value, quality, and instead we're focused on the reward and the loyalty points, we end up paying a lot more money than we need to. I call it competing with yourself. That instead of making a purchase decision based on what's the best deal, best combination, if you're like price, but there's things other than price that I don't really relate to, because I've always said I'll accept lower quality for a lower price. We all make this combination judgment of price and quality. But what the loyalty programs have done across industries is they've broken that for people who become loyalty program followers. So it's not even brand loyal. It's the loyalty program loyalty. And so you want your Bonvoy points, or you want your Sky Miles, or you want your Advantage points, or Mileage Plus, or whatever it is, to the point that over the course of a year, you may take an inferior flight, you may have a bad meal, you may stay in a crummy hotel, and you also may pay way more money than you need to if you allow competition to make the decision. And so I try to always remember that, even though I'm a member of so many loyalty programs, I still let price guide me to what I'm going to do because I am so price-oriented. But know that human nature being what it is, unless you consciously say, oh, no, I'm not going to take that flight because that flight is $200 more than this other flight from brand X or Y or Z. Instead of the airline, I'm trying to climb that status ladder. There'll be plenty of times that the combination of price and all that will be fine on that company you're on the treadmill of. But when the price gap is large enough, you should really pay attention to it. Now, I know with the travel stuff, a lot of people work for big corporations and the company's paying and you're getting the benefit and you don't care about the cost benefit. When I was in the travel agency business, I had a plan I proposed to companies that had multiple steps, but the idea was that if the employer would share the savings with an employee for going on the more affordable option, the company and the employee would split the money. And companies that would take me up on that, their costs for travel went way down because it attacked that corporate thing while the company's paying and lowered the expenses, and both the employee benefited and the company benefited. And so that's my thing, is trying to get, if it's your money that's on the line, remember that loyalty program is designed from the ground up to get you to spend more money than you would spend otherwise. It's your money. When it is your money, you decide.
Andy in Arizona says, in a recent podcast, there was a debate about a Toyota Sienna and Honda Odyssey van. I spoke to my trusted independent mechanic and he votes for the Sienna. He says the Odyssey uses the same engine designed for the Accord, so this engine is moving almost twice the weight that it was designed for. He has the Sienna customer who has 400,000 miles on their van. In the end, both vans are exceptional choices. In the snow belt, salt will eat the body way before the powertrain failure. Here in Arizona, with the dry heat, the body will survive 400K miles and beyond with routine maintenance.
The Sienna Odyssey thing has come up three times recently on the podcast. It's an area of, I guess, big debate with people. Consumer Reports says that everybody on this Sienna and Odyssey debate is missing the best choice, which is the Kia Carnival. Kia makes a minivan? Go test drive one, because Consumer Reports gives it a much higher rating than both the Sienna and the Odyssey on predicted reliability. Interestingly enough, on predicted reliability, they show the Sienna and the Honda Odyssey neck and neck. So between those two, Consumer Reports says, pick whichever one you like better. But Consumer Reports would have you do something that's not even what they call your car funnel. Like people have a funnel and they, you know, I buy Buicks or I buy Ford trucks or I buy this or that or the other. And they call that the funnel. And it might involve more than one brand, like in this case, we're talking about Honda and Toyota. And Consumer Reports would say, with the van space, definitely bring one other into your funnel, the Kia Carnival, go test drive it, look at it, check it out. And then between the Sienna and the Odyssey, it's a pick 'em. The one big advantage of the Sienna, the new Siennas get far better fuel economy than the Honda Odysseys.
Richard in Tennessee says, I just paid off my 2018 Chevy Silverado with 75,000 miles. According to pricing guides, I can get around $20,000 to $24,000 on a trade-in or private sale.
That's fantastic.
My work provides me with a $500 cash car allowance in addition to my salary. Should I continue to pocket this cash in my high-yield savings account for a couple of years, or trade in now for a newer used car and put my car allowance toward the new payment? I acknowledge this carries some risk, but I'm happy where I'm at and my company is stable.
So Richard, really, it's not about that. It's about the question of your Silverado. If your Silverado is 6 years old, has about a normal number of miles for a six-year-old vehicle at 75,000. It's got a lot of life in front of it. If it's been reliable, you enjoy driving it, I would keep driving it, because even though it's still worth $20,000 to $24,000 by your checking, it's already suffered most of the depreciation curve it's going to have. And from here, the value goes down very little each year. You avoid a monthly payment. You avoid all that. If you continue to drive it, just think, you said you just paid it off. So my preference is, now you're driving basically for free. You're pocketing all that car allowance. And so I would only dump it if you hate it, or it's at the point where you're really worried about reliability. Because today, on cars, 75,000 miles makes it a baby. I mean, it's not even an awkward adolescent yet. It's 75,000 miles. So I would, unless it's a lifestyle choice that you want a newer to you used vehicle, I'd keep driving it.
Okay, I was just looking at Consumer Reports to say the reliability doesn't look very great on that year.
The reliability score is
a 26.
Absolutely atrocious. 26 out of 100. The Carnival that we were just talking about.
Carnival.
Carnival was like an 80-something, and the Silverado is a 26. There are 3 active recalls on it right now. Oops. So maybe that would be a reason that you'd want to cycle out of it early. Good rebuttal there, Krista.
Thank you. Nathan in Pennsylvania says, my wife and I are in the process of buying our first home, and we have 2 questions. One, with today's higher interest rates and the signaling from the Fed to reduce rates in the foreseeable future, would Clark recommend taking out an adjustable rate mortgage to take advantage of a lower rate today with plans to refinance over the next 5 years to capitalize on a hopefully better mortgage climate? And two, although we've saved $95,000 to be able to pay 20% down to avoid PMI, our credit union offers a first-time home buyer program that doesn't require any down payment and won't charge PMI in exchange for a 0.375% increase in the interest rate. We have $54,000 left on our private student loans that have an interest rate of 3.49%, and we were thinking of taking advantage of this first-time home buyer product to be able to put 10% down on our home and use the other savings we have remaining to pay off our private student loans, which currently cost $817 per month.
Okay, so let me deal with the first question first, the adjustable rate mortgage. It is a reasonable decision with relatively low risk. If you were to take out an ARM now, have a fixed rate for 5 years, and then sometime in the next 5 years, have an opportunity to refi. If you're getting a rate of 1 point or lower versus what the fixed rate would be, that would be a good decision. So if the fixed rate 30-year loan is at, let's just say, I'm just throwing out numbers, is 7% and the ARM is 6 or below, I would do that. I would take out the 5-1 ARM, because the odds that interest rates are going to be lower in the next 5 years is huge. If it turns out to be wrong, then you got a problem. But the odds of that are so low, and nothing is certain in life, but the odds favor making that decision. Which brings us to the second part. I don't want you doing 10% down. I want you doing 20. If you're going to do the ARM especially. The reason is, you never know when real estate will go through a slump. And they're usually short term. But you then, if you've only put 10% down, you're in an ARM. The time comes that interest rates are more favorable to refi. And let's say there's been a 3 or 4% drop in home values. You may then have more difficulty appraising out and qualifying for a good refi you want to do. So I want you, for these two circumstances tied together, definitely that would be reason number one to do the ARM with the 20% down. The second thing is, based on what you've said, your private student loans are at an incredibly favorable fixed rate of 3.5%. At 3.5%, your mortgage is going to carry a higher rate. Keep servicing those loans like you are paying the 8 whatever a month, instead of paying more in the mortgage every month because of the amortization, tons of interest continually you're having to service with that. and know that over time you'll pay those as agreed, you'll get them worked off. So that would be my combination of what I'd do. And that was a lot to say about that. And congratulations to you, first of all, on having saved up nearly $100,000 to be able to avoid PMI and have 20% equity in that home right away. And you avoid paying 0.45 higher, I think it was, on the mortgage, or 0.35, whatever that was, you'd have to pay if you did their 10% down product. Go for the 20.
All right.
And you have a Clarkie for us to end the week,
yeah,
don't you?
Yeah, here we go.
Hello, my name is David. I'm a Clarkie as well. I became debt-free at 45. But ironically, what I saw was one day when I was staying down in Ponte Vedra in the community, and I go to dinner that evening at Sawgrass, and who do I see but Mr. Howard sitting next to me, thinking, okay, well, this meal definitely costs more than his outfit. So just thought I would share that story, and kudos to him.
So if you're not familiar, you're not a golfer. Ponte Vedra is where the golf tour is based, and Sawgrass is where the TPC is played, what they refer to as the fifth major of the golf tour. It's a wonderful, beautiful area. It's where, when I retired when I was 31 and never intended to work again, it's where I moved.
And you're not a golfer.
I'm not a golfer.
But you're a beach boy.
But when I was living there renting when I retired back in the mid-1980s, I lived in a two-bedroom condo on the fourth or fifth fairway of the main Sawgrass Country Club course. And I would watch these corporate people not be able to hit a golf ball at all off the tee. And there were times I'd have to run for cover because that golf ball was coming at me. But I love being there and eating at Sawgrass. I wonder who I would have been with.
Maybe your brother was in town.
No, I was never a member of Sawgrass Country Club. So I was somebody's guest.
You're someone's guest, yeah.
Eating there. But it is a beautiful, beautiful part of the country, a place that I love. I can't wait to get back there. So have a great, great, great weekend. Know that we serve you at Clark.com and ClarkDeals.com all weekend long with information you can use and you can trust at Clark.com, deals you can trust at ClarkDeals.com. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday. I started to say at old radio thing.
Yeah.
At so-and-so time. We'll see you Monday on your schedule. That's what I love about podcasts.